What's good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Killer Point of View podcast, where we love discussing scary movies. I am your host, Brian, and I am here with Ashley.
Hello.
Joe.
Hello.
And Jamie.
Hey, guys.
How is everyone doing?
Fantastic.
Ashley, how are you doing?
I'm here.
Don't sound too happy to be here.
I don't mean it like that.
That's how I sound at work.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, I've been talking to another colleague of ours, so I've heard some funny stories.
About me?
No, I can't talk to you over while we're on recording. I'll talk to you after, though, about it.
Oh, boy. Okay. I went to the movies last night, and I saw Abigail. And
Abigail. Oh, shit, I forgot that was out. Damn it.
Yeah, the little vampire chick. I highly recommend watching the film when it comes out, or if you get a chance to go see it while it's still in theaters. I definitely recommend seeing it. For me, I would give it a 9 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bring y'all expectations down some, okay? For me, I'm purely basing it off entertainment. That's the only thing that I'm basing it off of, entertainment. From beginning to end, it was very entertaining. So I give it a 9 out of 10. Definitely worth watching. If you like the film Ready or Not, which I think came out 2019, you should like this, I would assume. It got a really good cast. I liked all the characters. It's funnier than you may think. But it's not a horror comedy. But
yeah, it basically has some comedic elements, but it's a serious movie still.
Yeah, it's like Ready or Not, if you've seen that. Like, that movie, it had funny moments and stuff, but it's not a horror comedy.
I had, like, Ready or Not had, like, funny one-liners or some shit like that. Yeah, I know what you mean. I got you. Gotcha.
Yeah. It's kind of like what Ashley say Scream is.
Because Scream is funny.
I mean, it is. It has funny moments. It's just not a horror comedy.
I mean, no, I agree, because I don't think it's very horror-esque. I'm not scared. I'm giggling.
Giggling.
Precisely.
Okay, let's move on to our first topic, which is Battle of Some Studios. I think, and this is just my opinion, in the past couple of years, I feel like A24 and Blumhouse has really been like at the, you know, the front of the race when it comes to the horror genre. You know, like a lot of the films that they put out, a lot of people like, and they do pretty well, you know, financially. So I wanted to do like a top three from each studio and see which one, you know, we thought was better. Blumhouse, you know, it's not fair because Blumhouse has been around longer than A24, but that's why I wanted to do, like, the top three from each one, because they both have some bad movies also. Tusk coming from A24, and They Slash Them coming from Blumhouse. So both have some bad movies as well, but let's do top three best movies. Ashley, I will start with you.
Like, you want me to do all three at one time?
You can say, you want me to go first?
I mean, I just want you to know, I just need to know what you want me to say.
yeah, you can name like your top three favorite from A24, and then you can say your top three from Blumhouse and say which studio you prefer based on those three movies.
Okay, so I'm going to start with Blumhouse just because that's what's on my list first. So I didn't put these three in order because I can't pick like what I would put at the absolute top, but these are just my top three in general. So I have Insidious, the first one, The Black Phone, and then Split. Because I really like that movie. And then A24, I literally only wrote down two because I haven't seen probably 95% of the movies they've done. And then, yeah, like you just said, they did Tusk, so I can automatically discredit them for that alone. But that being said, I picked Hereditary and Bodies, Bodies, Bodies because those were like two of the four movies that I've seen by them. So, and obviously, Blumhouse is just better. They've done better movies. I know you said I you know, compared the list. They've obviously done a lot more, but if you put out something like Tusk, you hate yourself and I hate you too. So I can't.
Jesus. But Blumhouse did they slash them.
I didn't even finish that movie, so I mean it was bad. It was bad.
I mean, they literally broke out into song and dance in the middle of a fucking horror film.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be like a straight horror film.
I get that. But threw also, me off. Like, I've seen a ton more Blumhouse movies, and there were, like, it was hard to pick three because there was a lot of good ones. So,
yeah. It's kind of almost not fair, really, realistically. So you're going with Blumhouse?
Yes.
Jamie, I'll ask you next.
Yeah, I agree. There's way more movies under Blumhouse, and it was hard to pick three versus A24. It was very easy for me to pick my three and A24. But I feel like I haven't seen like tons of movies from A24, and I feel like they're also their movies are either hit or miss for me. Like I really like them or I really hate them. So. Mm-hmm. My top three though would be X, Pearl, and Talk to Me. And that was easy. Like I knew those would be the three I would pick. For Blumhouse, like I said, it was kind of hard. I actually went to their website and kind of looked at all their movies. So I just went with three movies I watch all the time. So Halloween 18, Halloween Kills, and Happy Death Day.
Interesting. Did not think you would pick Halloween Kills.
Yeah, I love Halloween Kills. I know it gets a lot of hate, but I love it. So,
okay, so that's two for Blumhouse. Joe, what about you?
Let's see. This was actually a fun list to put together. I had to look up, obviously, some of these movies, or I had to look up what both viewers had been working on. But I will start with A24. I picked The Monster, which is from 2016, Hereditary, 2018, and The Lighthouse, 2019. So, I mean, those three movies are just, I mean, Hereditary was definitely good. I mean, I can't believe it took me so many years to fucking see that movie because that was a really mind fuck movie for me. Some scenes in that movie were just twisted. I was like, whoa. But and as far as Blumhouse goes, The Belko Experiment came out in 2016, The Vigil, which came out in 2019, and Insidious, 2010.
And you think Blumhouse is better than A24 also?
Yeah, I honestly have to say that. I mean, like everybody already said, you know, Blumhouse has been around a little longer. But yeah, I mean, if you look at Blumhouse's list, I mean, a lot of those movies were entertaining, like Belko, for example, was just a gory, fun movie to watch. And it was definitely fucking creepy. And The Vigil I liked because it had a good story behind it. So I would definitely have to say Blumhouse takes the gold medal in this one.
Okay. I am going with Blumhouse also. Again, you know, it's kind of unfair because it has been around a lot longer. I think maybe in 10 years, I think it would be a better time to revisit this little debate. But for A24, I have Talk to Me, X, and Hereditary as my top 3 from A24. Keep in mind, I haven't seen all of A24 movies, just going based off the stuff I've seen. Those are my 3 favorite. And Blumhouse was definitely hard to choose the top three. But I went with the 2018 Halloween, the Belco Experiment, and Totally Killer as my 3.
I almost put the Belco Experiment on my list.
That movie is in my top 5 favorite horror films that came out last decade. I mean, it's just so much different than, you know, everything else that came out. You know, it's just a mind fuck, literally, of a movie. I love that movie. That's one of those films that, like, if I'm flipping through the channels and it's on, I'll stop and watch it. It's one of those films for me. Okay, so everybody chose Blumhouse. I'm surprised at a few. Like, I wasn't expecting Lighthouse from Joe. I wasn't expecting Halloween Kills from Jamie. And Ashley, what did you pick from Blumhouse?
Insidious.
I know you said Black Phone.
Black Phone and Split.
Split. That's the one I wasn't expecting you to say.
Yeah, I like that movie.
Because, what's up? I know you didn't like Happy Death Day. That one almost made my list also. You didn't like Freaky either, did you?
No. Because I know you talked about, like, Vince Vaughn being a more serious character, but to me, he's just like...
Well, in the beginning, he was serious.
I cannot take him serious at all. Like,
I mean, I get it
in any capacity. I get it.
I'm surprised no one said Sinister.
See, I almost put that one on there too, but I was like, I feel like Insidious and Sinister kind of give me the same vibe, and I like Insidious more. So,
fair enough. Let's move on to the next topic. Guess my type. If you've been listening to us for quite some time, you know sometimes we play random games just for entertainment purposes. So this game is basically we will choose 3 pairs of horror movie characters for the rest of the cast to guess. So I guess I will go first. Okay, so here's the first matchup for me.
I was like, please don't give us all 3 at once because I'm not going to remember shit.
No, I'm gonna do the first one. I'm going to do the first matchup. If you need to look up the character or whatever, you can do that. But you guys will, you know, pick which one you think I went with or whatever. And then we'll move on to the next person to do their matchup. Okay, so Megan from Friday the 13th, part 6. Jason Lives. Yes, Ashley, you have to look it up.
That literally sounds like you just pulled a random ass character out of your ass.
No.
You said Megan from what now?
If you let me finish. Megan from Friday the 13th, part 6. Jason Lives, who is played by Jennifer Cook. Okay.
Got it.
Versus Heather from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D. That came out 2013, played by Alexandra Daddario.
Gotcha.
Okay, I'm going to go with the second chick.
Okay. Did you look that movie up? Like, you know that one, right?
Yes, I do know that one. Thank you.
Okay, so you chose Heather. Jamie, Joe?
I'm going to go with Alexandra Daddario.
Okay, you choose Heather as well. Jamie?
I'm going to go with Megan.
Correct answer is Megan. I like her
character. You go with
huh? What'd you say?
You go with, you know, the older movie. I gotcha. I should have figured that was going to happen.
It's not because it's the older movie. I just like her character more.
Yeah, I remember you saying like she was your favorite Friday the 13th final girl. So.
Yeah, I like her character more than I liked Heather in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. Although I did like her character in Texas Chainsaw. It's just, I mean, Do Your Thing Cuz still pop up in my head every once in a while. So.
Right.
She kind of lose points right there for me. although, like, physically, I would probably go with her, but I'm choosing Megan from Friday the 13th Part 6. Okay, so Ashley, you want to go next?
I guess. okay, I'm picking Billy and Stu from Scream. I stole your example. I don't think I need to tell anybody who those people actually are.
No, I think okay. We all know.
Okay.
Okay, so I will choose, or I think that you chose Billy.
Okay.
Joe, Jamie.
Oh, Jamie, answer first.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Billy as well.
I'm going to go with Stu.
Okay, I do love Matthew Lillard. Okay, he's funny, but Billy's just kind of a psychopath, and I like him more. So
you like psychopaths?
A little bit.
What does that say about me?
You're not a psychopath.
Oh, so you don't like me?
Oh my god! this is a fictional made up thing. Okay, when I read books, I usually lean towards the villain, the psycho, the killer, the you know.
Okay.
Everybody likes Do, but yeah, I should have suspected she would pick Billy just because, you know, she's referred to him as Ghost Daddy from fucking the.
Why did you say it, Joe? Why?
He is Ghost Daddy.
Okay. Joe, you want to go next?
Yes. So my first one is Grace from Ready or Not versus Beth. From Evil Dead Rise, Beth being the final girl in the movie.
I am going to go with Beth.
Okay.
Ashley, you looking
at give me 2 seconds. Okay. I think I'm going to go with Grace.
Okay.
Why are you laughing?
I was just laughing. Because you wasn't sure about your answer.
Well, yeah, I'm going with that.
Okay. Jamie, who do you say?
Yeah, I'll say Grace as well.
The answer is Grace. Yep, correct.
Fuck.
It was a tough pick. It really was.
Okay. Jamie, your turn.
Well, I stole your example as well. So mine's Billy versus Stu also.
I'm going to say Billy.
I'm also going to say Billy.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Billy.
No, y'all are wrong.
Oh,
we're wrong?
Yeah, Stu is my favorite character like from the whole entire franchise.
Oh, love.
Yes, I mean, Billy is, like, hotter, obviously, but if we're just going, like, overall, like, funny, awesome, hilarious character, then it's Stu, so.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm still holding out for him to make a comeback.
Me too.
Listen,
I would love that if they did that.
I read something
yeah.
about Scream 7. It's not confirmed, last I knew. But I read that it was going to start off with Gail waking up in the hospital. Rewind that. Not her waking up in the hospital. Her, it's going to start off with her, like, in her book or something, like, writing in her book. And basically, the last two movies didn't exist. Like, it was just made up, basically. No. That's what I read that they might do.
I mean, that could make sense, though. Because if Sam and Tara aren't coming back, then you'd almost have to find a way to not have them even exist, you know? I don't know.
I think
That's an interesting way of doing it, but I don't know.
I think they could do what they did with Sydney. You know, they can, you know, mention them, but, you know, it's just the story is going somewhere else. I think if they did, you know, what I just said about them basically saying that, you know, the last two movies didn't exist, I think that would be one kind of a slap in the face. but also it would make the franchise kind of like some of the other franchises that just bounced all over the place. And I would really hate that. Because that is part of the reason why Scream is one of my favorite franchises, is because it, you know, the story just stayed consistent and everything. But for them to do that, it would be, I don't know if I would like it. But again, that's not confirmed. That's just something I read online article.
Yeah.
Okay, so round two. I do not know how to pronounce her name in the film, but it is Salma Hayek from Dusk Till Dawn. Okay.
Okay.
And Annabelle from House on the Haunted Hill remake, played by Famke Janssen. You know those people, right? Actually, okay. Wait, have you seen From Dusk Till Dawn? I knew you were.
Yes.
Okay, because I know you were watching. Or you were out here when I was watching it last, so but I didn't know if you actually watched the movie before.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What's your guess?
I'm gonna go. Yeah, I don't know what her name is, but we'll
Salma
go
with Hayek.
No, I know what her actual name is. I don't remember. Oh, it is in the movie. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're choosing Salma Hayek.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Jamie.
Not really sure on this one. I'll say Famke, even though I don't know.
Okay. Joe?
I'm going to go with Salma Hayek, obviously, and if you did not choose her, you're wrong, so.
You are wrong, Joe. I did not I did not go with her. I went with Annabelle from House on Haunted Hill. Even though she was a little...
How does it feel to be wrong, Ryan?
Oh my God.
How are you telling me I'm wrong for my choice?
No, it's just wrong.
I mean, obviously I know who you would pick, but no. Even though Annabelle is a little crazy, she wasn't a fucking vampire, so there's that. that's basically why I chose Annabelle from House on Honey Hill. Ashley, what's your second round matchup?
Well, I kept mine all in the same movies just to keep it easy for myself. So I picked Nick, who was played by Chad Michael Murray in The House of Wax, or Wade, which was Jared Padalecki.
I have... This one is tough. I'll let...
It's not. I promise you it's not.
I'll let Joe and Jamie go first.
I gotta go last because I gotta look these names up. I haven't seen that movie.
You haven't seen House
of Wax?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Make sure you look up the 2005 one, because it's not the one from the 50s.
Yeah, 2005. House of Wax. Okay, Jamie, who do you think?
I'm going to go with Wade.
Who is that? Who played
that? That's Jared Padalecki.
Okay.
Jared, yeah.
I have thoughts.
Just answer. I don't want your thoughts. Because I'm scared of what they are. So
what the fuck? No, I have thoughts. Because I'm thinking about both people and their characters. What was Chad Michael Murray's character?
Nick.
Nick. Nick was kind of like he kind of came off as like a bad boy, quote unquote, ish. Wade was a nice guy. I feel like you would lean more towards Nick. However, and this is a super pause.
Oh.
Wade is bigger in size, and I know you like that.
What the fuck? Stop saying stuff like that.
This is stuff you have said on the podcast before.
Not in that way.
Yes, you have.
I didn't say I like the big guys. Like
the bullshit. You always talk about how you like the 2003 Leatherface because he's bigger. You always talk about
the characters are more intimidating. If I can put a guy on my back and wear him like a backpack, I'm not scared of him.
You can't do any guy like that. What are you talking about?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. I might have noodle arms, but I could pick up some of these dudes. Yes, I could.
Okay.
Yes, I could. I just, like, I'm not scared of you if, like, you know, you're not 300 pounds and, like, you know, 7 inches taller than me and, like, you're running at me with a machete, so.
Okay, I'm still going to go with Nick.
Okay.
So, Joe, who's your pick?
I'm just going to go with Wade just because I know Derek Padalecki from Supernatural, so.
I went with Nick purely based off the fact that he was in One Tree Hill, and I know how much you love that show. So,
I went with Nick based off the fact that I love Chad Michael Murray. So, there's that.
I told you, I know you like the back of my fucking hand. Okay, who is next? Joe.
All right, next one. Aaron. From the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, played by Jessica Biel, and versus Kelly Presley from Black Christmas, 2006.
Wait, who?
Kelly Presley, she was the final girl in Black Christmas.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say Aaron from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay, we got one for Aaron.
I'm gonna say Kelly.
Okay, one for Aaron, one for Kelly.
I'm gonna go with Aaron.
The correct answer is Aaron, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Jamie, what's your next matchup?
So mine next matchup is, they're both Josh Hartnett characters. So, so John from H2O or Zeke from The Faculty?
I'm going to say John from H2O.
I think I'm going to say the same thing.
Well, that's a good one. I'm going to go with Zeke, The Faculty.
John.
Ah, damn it.
That's funny. I wasn't expecting that. That's funny. Okay. My final matchup is Cece from Scream 2, played by Sarah Michelle Gellar. Or Jesse from Wrong Turn, played by Eliza Dushku. Little Buffy verse Faith action got going on here.
I guess I'll probably go with Sarah Michelle Gellar. Based off of literally nothing other than the fact that you like Buffy and
they're also both in
that,
Buffy.
That, I haven't made it to that part, have I?
No.
Yeah, so irrelevant. Also, you like that god-awful movie that she's in. So
what movie?
The
Grudge?
What? No, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh. Okay.
Classic. What are you talking about?
Trash. Ass. The top of the ass mountain. That's what it is.
I mean, an ass mountain could be good depending on how you look at it.
Maybe for you, but not in this case.
Joe, what's your guess?
I'm also gonna go with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Jamie,
I'm gonna go with Jesse.
This one, The answer could be both. However, that's not the rules. I picked Cece from Scream 2. Based off the fact, even though she wasn't really in the movie that much, she was only in like two scenes, I believe. That scene where she was in class, or when they were all in class, really, and they was, you know, discussing the movies and stuff like that. I wish they would have had more of those scenes in Scream 2, because I really liked when they discussed, you know, movies within the movie and stuff like that. But that's you know, that's just why I chose her, just for that reason, because she's a movie nerd. Even though I love Jesse in Wrong Turn, don't get me wrong, but I went with Cece. Ashley, what's your next one?
I picked Jerry, who is Colin Farrell, and Mark, played by Dave Franco from Fright Night 2011.
I'm going to go with Colin Farrell. Even though he's not a sparkly vampire.
Jesus.
Like you like him.
No, they can be brutal and ripping out throats.
Wait,
too.
When That's did fine. When what year did Fright Night come out? That Fright Night?
2011.
Damn, that's still before that last fucking Twilight movie. I was trying to figure out the last vampire movie I saw before Abigail, and it was a Twilight movie. I feel disgusting. I'm not gonna lie. Joe, what's your pick?
Go with Colin Farrell.
Okay, Jamie.
Yeah, I would say the same thing.
That's right.
Got him. All right, Joe. What's your next matchup?
My last one is Jack Torrance from The Shining. So Jack Nicholson's character. Okay. Versus Norman Bates from the original Psycho.
The original Psycho.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Jack.
Okay.
I'm going with Norman Bates.
Yeah.
I'll say Jack as well.
The correct answer is definitely Jack Torrance.
Got him. We are doing that movie at some point this year. Unfortunately, Ashley and Jamie, because I know you two.
Which movie?
The Shining.
Look, I'm about to make you a list of episodes I'm not about to be on, so.
I mean, you know, that's your, you have that right to do that. Okay, Jamie, what's your last matchup?
My last one is Scott versus Chris from Wrong Turn.
I'm going to say Chris. Ashley, you need to look him up.
I'm looking. I'm also going to say Chris.
Okay.
Scott,
I'm going to.
You say you look what?
I'm also going to go with Chris.
You said Chris?
Yep, I'm going to go with Chris.
Okay. Ashley, you said Scott looked like a bitch.
Well, it's just his hair, I think.
What?
Just disregard.
Okay, Jamie, who's your pick?
Yeah, Chris. This one was hard though, because like I really do like Scott a lot, but I just think Chris was like a total badass through the whole movie. So
Scott had a lot of elements that Stu has, you know, comedic relief and stuff like that. So
yeah, like I really do like him too. Trust me, it was hard.
Oh yeah, because he was also in your movie May.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was it for that game. I think that was fun. Some interesting picks. Wasn't expecting. Let's move on to our movie review of the day. A film that I just watched for the first time, and something I think that we all learned a very valuable lesson from, that even in an afterlife, you can still get a hand job.
What the fuck? Have you been saving that, or was that completely improvised?
That was improvised. We are discussing the 2023 film Talk to Me. Did you not like that, Ashley?
No, I wasn't expecting it.
I mean, you know how random I could be sometimes.
That's true.
Just think of everything I don't say on the podcast. Okay, Talk to Me, which came out last year. It had a budget of $4.5 million, and I think worldwide it grossed $91 or $93 million, I think. I remember reading. So definitely a profitable film. I remember I just watched this for the first time a week ago or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. But I remember when it came out, and actually throughout the year last year, I remember people saying that it was their favorite film of the year. I didn't really see anything negative about the film. Yeah, I just watched this for the first time. I think Ashley just watched this for the first time recently. And I believe Joe and Jamie seen it a while ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, this is the second time I've seen it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was my second time as well. I actually watched it for the first time when it came out in the theater.
Okay. I feel like this probably we should have saw this in the theater.
Hard pass. I would have cried.
Why?
Because I don't, stuff like this scares the shit out of me. So,
what, spirits looking for hand jobs?
No.
No,
that does not scare me.
Oh, it don't. Okay. So what was like your overall feeling, Ashley? You know, just watching this for the first time.
I mean, I definitely enjoyed it. It was good. I think the cast did a really good job. Just the storyline overall was good. My only complaint would be that maybe I would have liked to know a little bit more about the hand and, like, you know, where it came from and how, you know, we kind of got to this point. But I get it. They couldn't make a fucking 3 hour long movie. So there's that. But outside of that, I really enjoyed it.
Jamie, what was your thoughts and feelings after seeing it in the movie theater for the first time?
So the first time I saw it, I mean, I really liked it, but I didn't think it was like as great as people were making it out to be. But then watching it, you know, a few days ago for the second time, I actually liked it more than the first time, which I thought was kind of weird, but I mean, I guess that happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, overall, it's just, you know, it's different, I think, from some other like possession movies that we've seen. And I like the characters, the acting, just the overall theme. I think it keeps you engaged the whole time. Like, it's not boring. Yeah, it's just a really good movie.
Okay. Joe, what about you?
Overall, I mean, I think the movie was good. The plot is, it's original. It's something I've never really seen before, while also incorporating the old, you know, traditional story of the youth meddling in things that they don't understand and suffering the consequences of it. Definitely had some creepy elements. Music was good. Acting was convincing. I mean, overall, is it like my favorite? Like, this is obviously a supernatural movie. Is it my favorite one? No. But yeah, it wasn't overall bad. I enjoyed it.
I would agree. I was a little nervous about watching it because I do remember seeing a lot of people say that this was their favorite film of the year and how good it was. And I was a little worried that it wouldn't live up to that hype.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think it did. I like the movie, don't get me wrong, but you know, some people, the way I saw the some of the stuff I saw people saying and the way they were talking about it, it was like, this was the best film in the last 5-10 years, and I was like, but we all know that I could be a little biased because slashers are my shit, so there's that. But I really did like the film. I think the only person in this movie that I recognized is the mom, Sue. I think that's
her. Yeah, I can't remember what I've seen her in, though.
Miranda Otto, I believe is her name. She was in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. She was in Lord of the Rings, the last two Lord of the Rings of the original three movies. She's been in a lot of stuff. She's been around for a while, but she was the only one that I recognized. But I do think that the rest of the cast did a really good job. I like the special effects. And really, I don't even know if it was special effects. I feel like it could have just been practical effects, like when they would touch the hand and would let the spirit in, whatever. I think that shit looked creepy as fuck. Like they just all look drugged out whenever they would do that, which also made me think about how I think that this film is kind of about addiction in a way. But
interesting, yeah, I could see that.
Because if I'm not mistaken, like, I don't think any of them were ever drinking or like smoking weed. Like, I know they, you know, smoke cigarettes, whatever, but you know, when the mom was asking about, were there gonna, was there a party tonight? And, you know, she's worried about them drinking and all that stuff. Like, that's not what they were on. It was something else that they were addicted to that obviously fucked some of them up pretty bad. So, I do think the movie is about addiction in a way. But I could be wrong because I didn't look that up. I don't know what the writers or directors was going for. I don't know. That's just based on
every horror. I mean, every is open up to interpretation, and that's actually an interesting. I mean, like, it's, they find something fun to mess with, and it becomes addicting. I mean, they were all just sitting there, just having a laugh and enjoying it, not fully understanding what that they were messing with was dangerous. So, I mean, it's kind of like with drugs. You know, people think, we'll just have a little bit of a big deal, and the next thing you know, you OD on it, and someone's dead.
Yep, exactly. So let's start with the hand, okay? If you had the ability to conjure spirits using the hand, would you? I'll start with you, Jamie.
definitely not. I think we've all seen one too many movies. And the outcomes and consequences of that. So.
Agreed.
No.
Ashley, what about you?
Fuck no. I've told y'all this so many times. I'm not messing with any of that shit. You come out with a Ouija board, I'm leaving. I'm not playing. I'm not doing no fucking seance with the candles and the little symbols. No. Get away from me. I'm not partaking in any of that.
Okay, a little off topic, but let's say somebody brought out a Jumanji board game, right?
No,
but it was you wouldn't play Jumanji.
No, I want to get sucked into that shit. No,
I mean, it could be fun.
Okay, well, you go and let me know how it is. Okay.
Joe, what about you? Would you conjure spirits using the hand if you had the chance to?
No, absolutely not. It's a mixture of my personal beliefs. I do not believe in ghosts. I mean, I don't think I've ever said that on the podcast before. I don't believe in them. Then if I could, I wouldn't, because I have nothing to say.
you wouldn't have anything to say?
No, I don't want to know what it's like over there, and I don't have any interest in speaking to departed loved ones. Just, you know, that's just personal beliefs.
I got you. I'm in the same boat as Jamie. I've seen way too many fucking movies. I know how this ends. I don't want any part of it. the only use I would have for that hand is to bitch smack somebody. That's it. That's it. I wouldn't actually partake in their little game. So we all see that using a hand can go wrong, which leads us to Riley's possession. What is funny, Ashley?
Now I'm thinking about your dumbass joke, and now it's just making me laugh.
Is it dumb if it made you laugh?
No, I guess not.
So we see that Riley gets possessed by Mia's mother. And to me, it was weird that at some point in the movie, she started to listen to that spirit, her mother's spirit, or what she thought was her mother's spirit. And, you know, she just kind of started to do everything that she said, her mother's spirit said. And like, to me, it didn't make sense at all. Ashley, how do you feel? Why do you think?
Can we actually have Joe go first? Because he was talking about this before we started recording, and my answer is kind of similar to what he was saying. So,
okay, let's start with Joe.
So I think it's just, you know, a daughter's blind ambition. I don't want to use the word ambition, but I don't know what else to use. Her blind ambition to want to talk to her mother. And so she was willing to basically look past anything, basically the red flags of what we were seeing as an audience. But she really desperately wanted to talk to her mother and understand, you know, why she died and everything. So, I mean, yeah, she was willing to look past the signs and just believe that it was her mother.
I mean,
genuinely wanting to connect with her.
The sign was Riley getting fucked up. Like, seriously fucked up.
Yeah.
How can you, like, I understand, you know, her mom died. She wanted to see her mom, stuff like that. I get that. But after you see what happened to somebody else that you care about, you know, how can you trust anything, especially when you don't know anything about how the spirits and everything work? You know, I don't know. I don't understand how she could do that.
It's an interesting observation that you made, because I didn't even think about that. When you first posted the question to us, I didn't even think about that thing. But that should have been like, yeah, the first sign of something was wrong. But I think as the movie progresses, we see the mother. If you watch her mother when she like visits her, kind of, when she sees her, her body's like slowly decaying as we watch throughout the movie, which obviously I think was a sign that something definitely was sinister was afoot. But, yeah, I get what you mean.
Okay. Jamie, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Mia, she just really wanted to believe she was speaking to her mom. You know, she missed her. It had been 2 years, I think, since she passed. And I think she just wanted to find out, you know, did her mom really kill herself? Was it an accident? You know, I get it. Like, obviously, she should have realized it wasn't really her mom. But again, she just was hoping she could talk to her mom, find out what happened. And I mean, that's my opinion of what Mia thought.
Makes sense. So the phrase "I let you in" is when the spirit takes over the controller of the hand, if you will. What was this creepiest scene in the film to you? Ashley, I'll start with you.
I mean, for me, it was really any of the scenes where like they were first being taken hold by whatever came through.
Yeah.
Just the way like their face is distorted and the eyes always get me. The eyes always freak me the fuck out. So
I mean, they look like crackheads. That's part of the reason why I said that this movie could be about addiction, because they look like they were on drugs. Like, I'm pretty sure I've seen some of them underneath some bridges in Detroit before. Oh, but God. That's another story.
Yeah. So I mean, it was really just those parts.
Okay. Joe, what about you?
Yeah, are you specifically talking about just those scenes where they were talking with the hands? Okay. So mine's a little different. I actually think the moment when Mia comes to the realization that she's dead and the darkness, like the hospital lights just start going out and you could just, the darkness is kind of just closing in on her. There's something I've seen that before in other movies. And it's just, it's kind of an eerie thing because, I mean, it made me sit there and, you know, think to myself, is that how crossing over into death looks, where you see like all the places you've been, and then slowly darkness just starts closing in on you. Everything just starts going out. And yeah, that scene was a little unsettling. So
that does make a lot of sense. I've definitely seen that before in TV shows and movies and stuff like that. As very creepy.
Yeah, I was trying to think of, you remember the movie Awake?
Yes.
With Jessica
Alba and Hayden Christian, some shit like that. Yes.
I was trying to find the scene last night. I couldn't find it. I've only seen the movie once, but I believe at the end of the movie, because his mother, I think, commits suicide or whatever at the hospital, she speaks to him in like that point of life and death. And she's sitting there, I think, in that room, and the light, and I think darkness just slowly closes in on her. I don't remember, though. It's been a while since I've seen that. It kind of reminded me of something like that. So I was like, yeah, that shit gets you thinking, and it's creepy.
Yeah, it can be for sure. Jamie, what was the creepiest scene to you?
Definitely when Riley became possessed. Like, that whole scene was just amazing. You know, him just repeatedly banging his head on the table and then ripping his eye out. I do feel like he probably should have died, though. I was really confused by that, but maybe it was the fact that he was actually possessed, but yeah. He didn't die.
Yeah, because he was fucked up.
That was crazy, yeah. But I really liked that scene. Like, that was wild.
The creepiest scene to me was when Daniel was possessed for the first time, where it kind of seemed like he was choking and stuff. Like, it actually looked like he was about to turn into a fucking zombie. Honestly, he was.
Yeah.
I think the actor that did that played that scene very well. And he just looked. I don't know. It's something about how he looked. It just looked, I don't know, creepy to me. But I think he did a really good job. Moving on to Mia, because she was the main character of the movie. And we see that, you know, Joe kind of touched on it before, with her dying and stuff at the end. What do we think about her sacrifice at the end of the film? Instead of killing Riley, she killed herself. What do we think about that, Ashley?
I mean, I guess it, you know, kind of logically made sense with the movie, I suppose. Like, she, I don't know, came to the realization that she didn't actually want to kill him. I don't really know. I don't have a lot of thoughts on it.
Okay, Joe.
I'm watching this movie again and watching that scene. I'm really not entirely sure how her sacrifice freed Riley necessarily from his predicament.
Yeah.
But I mean, I didn't get that. I mean, if they had explained that at some point, I mean, she's about to kill him and then she decides not to, she kills herself and somehow, oh, he's okay. I mean, she's fucked, got it. She got hit by a car, but it's just like, I don't understand how it freed him from his possession, for lack of a better word. But setting that aside, I mean, I think the ending was suitable for the story. You know, it's because one of the things that, as fans of horror, we understand is that not all horror films can have a happy ending. So, right. Obviously, this one.
Right. I feel like the reason why it might have saved him is because it was her. Well, we don't know. Well, we don't think it was her mother's spirit, but the spirit pretending to be her mother was latched on to both of them, I feel like. Because she would see the spirit without being connected to the hand or whatever. So I feel like that's kind of, I mean, I do agree. They should have explained that better because they kind of don't make sense. But I'm guessing that's why it worked, is because it was kind of latched on to both of them. And, you know, she sacrificed herself and saved him. So, Jamie, what do you think?
Yeah, that makes sense what you said. I didn't think about it like that, that the spirit was probably attached to both of them. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting Mia to die. Like when I first saw it, I was definitely surprised by that. Mm-hmm. And I guess I didn't really understand, but maybe, you know, maybe what you said is what makes sense. If you know, her killing herself freed Riley because they were both possessed by that same spirit. So. Mm-hmm.
To me, that's what makes sense. I don't know if I'm right.
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah.
Let's move into ratings. Mm-hmm. Ashley, 1 out of 10.
I think I'm going to give it a 7. I think it's, I mean, it was good. I liked it. I would probably watch it again at some point. And I don't know, I just feel like 7 is.
Like middle ground almost.
Yeah.
Even though it's not really the middle, but it's like a good middle.
Yeah. Like I really did enjoy the movie. So, yeah.
Okay. Jamie, what about you?
So the first time I saw it, I said 7 out of 10, but rewatching it, I bumped it up to an 8. And I feel like, honestly, like the first half of the movie, I would say like 10 out of 10. And then I'm not sure what it was, but something just, I don't want to say it went, I don't know, I wouldn't say it went downhill. That would be extreme. But there's just something about the last half of the movie that doesn't compare to the first half that just makes me say 8 out of 10, which is really good. Mm-hmm. And definitely would watch it again.
That's good. Joe, what about you?
I also went with a 7 out of 10. I think the acting was convincing. Cinematography was well put together. I liked some of the camera angles where they were, like when they were becoming possessed and everything by the hand. Music was eerie. Music was eerie. And as I said about the plot, you know, it's an original plot. You know, it's not something we've, at least I've ever seen before. But like I said, they also incorporated the, you know, youth meddling and things they shouldn't be meddling in. And so I liked how that all came together. So yeah, I give it a 7 out of 10.
Okay. For me, I do wish that we would have, they would have explained the hand more, like how it works or why it is the way it is, where it came from. I think the director or the writer said that they're definitely working on a second one. Especially because of how profitable it was. I wonder if they're going to have two hands. Would that be too obvious?
I don't know.
Well, maybe they'll go into detail, you know, about the hand, like you said, because that definitely, you know, is something I think everybody would want to know, like the backstory.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause when it comes to these type of movies, you can fuck it up by trying to explain stuff. Like sometimes it's better left off unexplained. It's kind of what I'm worried about with It Follows. Like, I feel like they may try to explain it and just kind of fuck the story up. But we'll see. I give it a 7.5, 7.5 out of 10. It's something that I'll watch again at some point. I think everyone did a great job acting wise. The music was great. Like Joe said, the camera angles when they would, you know, come in and out of the being possessed or whatever. I think that was really cool. And it's a fun film. You know, something different. I mean, even though when it comes to possession films, they're kind of all the same, but this has a different, it has a little bit more meat on the bones, if you will. but I did enjoy the film, so I give it 7 out of 10. 7.5, sorry, out of 10. Anybody have anything else about the film that they want to say, talk about?
No.
No, not really.
Well, let's get into some movie recommendations, if anybody has any. Joe, Jamie?
Yes, I have one. I watched, I think it was last weekend or something like that, I watched a movie called Late Night with the Devil, which just came out. I mean, I think it just came to streaming, I think maybe just a couple weeks ago. It hasn't been long at all. But it is, in 1977, the late night talk show Night Owls aired their Halloween episode with various special guests, including a psychic, a skeptic, and a parapsychologist and her patient, a little girl who claims to have the ability to communicate with the demon. The events that transpired that evening not only shocked those on stage and the audience, but as well as millions of viewers at home watching on TV. So this movie, they did kind of in like a half documentary, half found footage sort of way. And what I really enjoyed about the movie was how, to me, they were very off. They were very, what's the word I'm looking for? They were very precise on the historical accuracy of like the costumes, how everybody was dressed, you know, the stage equipment and everything from back in the 70s. So I really enjoyed it. It did have an interesting plot. It had an interesting story. I mean, it was the main character being the host of the show was obviously battling like discerning from what is real and what is not, you know, what is good and what is evil kind of a thing. So, I mean, overall, I mean, like jump scare kind of a movie. No, but it definitely was a horror film in my opinion. And overall, yeah, I think it was entertaining. So I would definitely recommend watching that. It is available. It's available on Shudder, which is on Amazon, I believe. It may be on Hulu. I could be wrong about that. So
I've seen a lot of people talk about that film.
Yeah, me too.
It's on my list of stuff to watch soon.
Yeah, it's available on AMC subscription on Amazon Prime. It's on Sling TV. You can watch it on YouTube, obviously. So it's all it is right now.
Okay. Jamie, do you have a movie recommendation?
I don't.
Okay. I have some stuff. I watched a movie called Possession. Came out 1981.
Oh my gosh.
It says,
dude, I just watched that movie a couple weekends ago for the first time as well. Holy shit. Go ahead and talk. Go ahead and say something.
The synopsis is a woman starts this fucking movie. A woman starts exhibiting increasingly disturbing behavior after asking her husband for a divorce. Suspicions of infidelity soon give way to something much more sinister. This movie. Super ass. Okay. That's how I feel about it. How did you feel about it, Joe?
Okay. The acting in this film is... No, let me take that back. It's not the actors per se. It's whoever wrote the fucking script for this movie. And the editing is atrocious. But I did some digging on this movie, and I think the edited version that I'm assuming you watched the same one that I did, it's really cut down from what it originally was supposed to be. And I think it was because it was like such a disturbing film back in the day. So they edited it down to cut out a lot of the more graphic scenes. But overall, yeah, the editing made this movie really bad. Some of the acting was really over the top. And one scene that I will talk about that I really liked was when, what's her name? Anna, the main girl. There's a scene when she goes through like a convulsing possession scene down in the subway where she's carrying like, okay, that scene instantly pops into my head when we were watching the first Omen in theaters, because there was a scene in that movie where the main actress kind of goes through something similar, and instantly this movie pops into my head, Possession. So, but it, yeah, I mean, her acting was good for that. I mean, she did a great job acting crazy. And, but yeah, this movie definitely did not age well. Like I said, my biggest gripe is the editing, and some of the acting is like way over the top, but it is 1981. So I got to kind of give it some little bit of a leash on that, just because acting was different back then. I mean, so, but yeah, that's my overall opinion about it.
The only thing I'm gonna give this movie is this button.
Hear me good, nigga. I'm here to double down. That shit is a two-pack of ass. The fuck are you talking about? That shit stinks.
I will never in my life watch this movie ever again.
So this is a warning, not a recommendation?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just double checking.
It's a little over 2 hours long.
Oh, hell no.
It's long as fuck. Pause.
Yeah, I was like probably maybe two quarters, you know, two-thirds of the way through the movie, and I was already messing on my phone. I was waiting for this movie to be over.
Oh, my God. This shit was bad. Oh, my God. But, you know, that's just my opinion. You may like the film if you like possession films and stuff like that. It has Sam O'Neill in it. I don't know how to pronounce the main actress name, Isabel something. Yeah, this shit was bad. Another film that I watched called House of Fears. This came out in 2007. The synopsis is, the night before a local haunted house opens for Halloween, six friends sneak in for a few hours of fun. Soon after entering, they find themselves trapped inside with no way out. The evening of fun rapidly turns into their worst nightmares as they begin to die and disappear in the most freakish of manners. Again. Garbage. I watched both of these films back to back. I was furious. I was fucking irritated as fuck. This film isn't as bad as the first one. The first one was horrible. This film, I can see, you know, I can see myself watching it again. It's not all the way ass.
Okay, I don't think that's a good scale.
It's not good.
This movie's not all the way ass. I'm gonna watch it again.
It's not all the way ass. It's just one of those films, like, it's just one of those films where maybe if I was drunk as fuck and watched it, maybe I would have a different opinion. I don't know.
How do you watch a movie when you're drunk?
You don't, which is, you know. Okay, but another film that I will actually recommend is called The Possession, which came out 2012. It says a young girl buys an antique box at a yard sale, unaware that inside the collectible lives a malicious ancient spirit. It has, what's the guy from Supernatural?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yes. I think it has a couple other recognizable people, but this film I liked. I remember seeing this at the movie theater. I haven't seen it in a while, though, but I know that I do like this film. Worth checking out if you haven't seen it. Why are you making that face, Ashley?
Because I remember the very opening scene, but I can't remember anything else. So I'm also kind of scared to watch it. So
it was good. I like the film. So I do recommend that. Also, I will recommend a TV show called Under the Bridge, which is on Hulu. This show is good as fuck. It is on Hulu, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. This show is good as fuck. It's based on a true crime, I believe, also. I highly recommend checking that out. It's one episode per week. I think they are three episodes in. Well, by the time this episode come out, there will be four episodes in. Comes out every Wednesday, I believe. Joe, you've watched some of this, right?
Yeah, I've seen the first two episodes. I haven't watched the latest one yet.
How do you feel about it so far?
So far, intriguing. I like it. It kind of reminds me of
The Killing.
I want to say Conspiracy of The Killing. Yeah. So it's like, you know, what the fuck is going on? You know, each episode we're kind of learning something new, and it's like, oh, that's a little bit of a change. And so it's kind of leaving us with some more questions. So, I mean, overall, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's like you think you know what happened, and then they show you something. It's like, fuck, that didn't happen. And then you think somebody did something, and it's like, okay, she didn't do it or he didn't do it, and this didn't happen. It's like The Killing in a lot of ways, and it's good. I highly recommend checking that out. So that's it for movie recommendations. Before we get off, I just want to inform everybody of our next episodes coming up. Our next episode, which will be a true crime thriller episode, will be the 2010 film Black Swan. And that episode will come out May 16th, which will be a Thursday. And our next horror movie episode will be, we're doing the entire Strangers franchise, so Strangers 1, 2, and 3, which will come out May 21st. So if you guys want to keep up with us, you can go check those out. Anybody have anything else?
Nope.
Well, guys, just remember that there is a thin line between horror movies and true crime. Good night.